So now we have the next 10 minutes to present another feature of the Recovered Version Bible.
Amen.
And starting from a few nights ago, we covered the translation methodology of the Recovered Version Bible, also the accuracy of the scripture, the text itself, in the Recovered Version Bible. And last night, we also covered the cross-references. Tonight, we would like to cover the footnotes in the Recovered Version Bible. And we're going to talk about a few things. First is, why do we need footnotes? Even many Christians question, why do we need to insert footnotes into a Bible? And also, we'll see that I will present to you the Bibles with footnotes, and also the source of the Recovered Version Bible footnotes, and most importantly, the features. And I will also present a few case studies and with a very brief conclusion. Okay, here we know that the Recovered Version Bible has a few critical components, and we covered a few so far, and we have three more to cover in the next 3 days. And one of the most important components is extensive footnotes. And the footnotes, actually, we have more than 15,000 footnotes in this version. So why? Why is there a need of footnotes? How about we just read Psalms 119:130. The opening of your words gives light, imparting understanding to the simple. We all know that today we have a copy of the Bible, right? But this Bible needs to be opened up. And that's why when Philip actually has to explain, right here, it has to, beginning from this scripture, he announced Jesus as the gospel to him. This is the exposition or interpretation of the book of Isaiah, right, by Philip. And actually, Philip is trained by the Lord Jesus himself. Because when the Lord Jesus, he interpreted the Old Testament, he said that beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them clearly in all the scripture the things concerning himself. If you read the Old Testament, how many times do you think that it refers to Christ? Right? When I read the Old Testament myself, I don't think so. I was distracted by the stories, this kind of story, that kind of story. But actually, to the Lord, the Old Testament scripture actually are concerning himself. You see, that's why the scripture needs to be opened up. All right. This afternoon, actually, I spent a few hours, actually the entire afternoon in the library, going over all these Bibles with extensive footnotes. So it's not that the Recovered Version Bible is not unique in providing footnotes. Okay, so we have the Jerusalem Bible, Anchor Bible, Scofield Bible, NIV Study Bible, and more. You see that the Recovered Version Bible is not unique. So if anyone says that, why your Recovered Version Bible is doing such a strange thing, no, it's not strange. It's very common. It's very popular. All right, now, what's the source of the Recovered Version Bible footnotes? If you go to all these footnotes here I listed, you can find that the author of Recovered Version Bible actually quotes from all these Christian scholars and Bible teachers ahead of us. Brother Bengel, which is in the 17th and 18th century, and Henry Alford, and Vincent West, and especially Brother Watchman Nee. That means that the author of the Recovered Version Bible stands on the shoulder of all the great Bible teachers ahead of us. And then they also, so basically we can see that the footnotes in the Recovered Version Bible is a crystallization of all the divine revelations received by God's people in the past 2,000 years. It's not a new invention. It's a crystallization. And also a further advancement based on God's revelation to us as a present truth. So now, here is the features of the Recovered Version footnotes. How about we read the first part? Holding on to the general principle of Scripture's interpret itself, one passage of Scripture must be clarified by other passages. And this principle is actually stipulated by Martin Luther 500 years ago, right? And here, so that's something in common among the evangelical churches and evangelical Christian scholars. However, these two points is very unique in the Recovered Version Bible because we take Christ and church as a central line. And many Christians, for example, came to read the book of Revelation just to be curious about all these tribulations, all these plagues. But as the brothers presented in the past few nights and tonight, we see that the revelation is a unique revelation concerning Christ.
Amen.
With the issue and consummation as a church, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. And why do we do that? Because the Lord is the first one to do this. The Lord, Jesus, pointed out the entire Old Testament. He said, the Old Testament is concerning myself. Right? So that's Christ. And in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord, after he asked Peter that question, who do men say I am, right? Well, of course, we know that he is Christ. He's the Son of God. What does the Lord say? The Lord said, I will also tell you, right? I will build my church upon this rock. So to the Lord, the vision of Christ is not enough. Today we have the complete divine revelation, which is Christ and the church.
Amen.
Christ is our life, and church is our living. Yeah. Consummating in the New Jerusalem, right? So today we have to see that from what the Lord did. The Lord is an example, and Apostle Paul is also the Lord's follower to interpret all the scriptures with the central line of Christ and the church. And also, the Recovered Version footnotes stress the revelation of the truth, the spiritual light, and the supply of life. And if you read other Bibles with footnotes, many of the footnotes cover some basic facts, maybe geology, you know, the city, the name of that city, the name of this city, and some historical fact. But Recovered Version Bible is very unique in that it stresses the revelation of the truth, the spiritual light, and the supply of light, because they relate to you and me, right? Today, merely knowing some historical fact, merely knowing some geological fact, does not really do much to our spiritual growth.
Right.
But it's a revelation, and the light, and the life, that's the most important. Right, so this is a precious feature of Recovered Version Bible.
Amen.
Now, I only have a few minutes left, but comparing with different Bibles with footnotes, I fall in love with the Recovered Version Bible again. Here, I want to see that first. Here, okay, how about we read John 10, these two verses. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For a regular, average English reader, you read these two verses and you see life appearing twice. To me, when I first read it, it does not make too much difference for me, right? It's both life. What's the difference? What does it mean to have life? Right? What does it mean to have laid down his life, right? So I might wonder, and I don't have any answer. But now, let's look at these few study Bibles. And the NIV study Bible, it says that, okay, here it says life, right? It says that one of the greatest concepts of this gospel, this term is found 36 times in John, while no other NT books uses it more than 17 times. Life is Christ's gift, and he, in fact, is life. Is it great? It's good, right? It tells us that, this is one of the greatest concepts of this gospel of John. It's on the matter of life, right? So it points out an objective truth. Objective fact. So it's good, right? Okay, let's move on. Life Application Bible. Now it says that in contrast to the thief who takes life, Jesus gives life. And this life is now abundantly richer and fuller. It is eternal. Oh, you see that? Here, the Life Application Bible is better than the NIV Study Bible. It points out that this life in verse 10 is what? Is eternal. And this one does not point out. Here it tells out it's eternal life, right? And here, of course, it says that life is in Christ is lived on a higher plane because of this overflowing forgiveness, love, and guidance. Have you taken Christ's offer of life? Wow, it's good? It's wonderful, right? Okay, now let's move on. Okay, here in ESV, which is the English Standard Version, Study Bible, here it says that Jesus' promise of abundant life, right, brings to mind Old Testament prophecies about abundant blessing. So here, you know, they try to relate the Ezekiel 34 and John chapter 10, which is good, right? Because it tells us that today, God's divine life was imparted to us as a fulfillment of God's promise in the Old Testament as the abundant blessing. But here, you know, it's not as good as Life Application Bible because it does not point out it's eternal. And here, rather, it just says that, Jesus calls his followers not toward dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing. So after you read this paragraph, you don't know, is it talking about God's life or my life? Right? It's very confusing, right? All right, now, let's read about this. Okay, let's read, maybe you can read, we can learn two Greek vocabulary tonight. One is what? Greek zoe. This word is used in the New Testament for the eternal divine life. Okay, let's read together. Psuche, so, that is to say, so life, and so in the succeeding verses. As a man, the Lord has a psuche life, the human life, and as God, he has a zoe life, the divine life. He laid down his soul, his psuche life, his human life, to accomplish redemption for his sheep, that they may share his zoe life, his divine life, the eternal life, by which they can be formed into one flock under himself as a one shepherd. As a good shepherd, he feeds his sheep with the divine life in this way and for this purpose. You see, this footnote not only covers the objective truth, it also tells us that these two words are different in the original language because God chose a language to express such a divine revelation. That God's life today is an eternal life. It's different from our soul life, which is psuche. It's also different from our bios life, our biological life. It's God's divine life. However, the Recovery Version Bible footnote does not end there. It says that this zoe life needs to enter into us. Right? You see here? He feeds his sheep with the divine life. So this is very subjective. So it's objectively subjective. It's subjectively objective. How wonderful, right? Oh, this is really good. All right, now, John 3:6, let's read it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Well, here, if you read this verse, I don't know about you, but when I read it, there are two spirits here, right? What's the point? What's the difference, right? Okay, let's now compare. NIV Study Bible does not tell you anything. A Life Application Bible, I just talk about Holy Spirit. Well, what about the second spirit? It does not mention anything, right? Okay, here, ESV Study Bible. Well, talk about, speculate. Oh, what is that water? Does the water refer to the water of physical birth? The water is a, no, it's likely that it refers to baptism. Wow. Begin to get into doctrinal issues. Very confusing. Is the water there? The water when the baby is giving birth to, or is the water refers to the water baptism? So it gets into this kind of speculation. Which water it is? There's no life supply here, right? After you read this paragraph, do you feel like you are more confused or you are more supplied with life? I am more confused. Well, Oxford Annotated Bible does not explain anything. Okay, now let's read this.
The first spirit mentioned here is the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And the second spirit is the human spirit, the regenerated spirit of man. Regeneration is accomplished in the human spirit by the Holy Spirit of God with God's life, the uncreated eternal life. Thus, to be regenerated is to have the divine eternal life in addition to the human natural life as a new source and new element of a new person.
Do you like this one, though? Amen. Not only says that here, of course, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, but the second Spirit is your human spirit.
Amen.
Do you know that you have a human spirit?
Amen.
Well, if you just present this short footnote to Christians in the
Christianity, many, 99% of the Christians do not even know that they have a human spirit.
Right.
So this is priceless, right?
Right?
This footnote not only tells us the objective truth about Holy Spirit, it also tells us that this Holy Spirit can be subjectively received and enjoyed by us.
Amen.
In our human spirit.
Amen.
Oh, thank praise you, Lord. The Lord. Okay, now, I don't have too much time. Actually, it's already over. But let's just read very briefly John, Revelation 1:4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming,
and from the seven spirits who are before his throne.
All right, here, the seven spirits, right? What is the seven spirit? Okay, now let's talk about this few things. And Oxford Annotated Bible, it says that, oh, it's beginning to speculate again. The seven spirits are either a symbolic reference to the manifold energy of the Spirit of God, or a reference to the seven principal angels of God.
No.
Whoa, Tob, First Enoch. They're not even in the scripture.
Right.
They're even using this to explain the Bible. Can you believe it? Right? This is not even the scripture. And they use some literature outside of scripture to interpret scripture. So this is completely outside the realm. All right, here, NIV version. Well, it says, very short, it says that, see the text note, and text note said that, or the sevenfold spirit. What is the sevenfold spirit? Well, yes, it is right. It says it's the sevenfold spirit. But what is the sevenfold spirit, right? If I am a seeker of God, after I read the NIV study Bible, I still don't know what is the seventh spirit, right? Okay, now, ESV. Okay, here, just talk about seven, the Holy Spirit is one person, which is good. Okay, here. He also appears as seven spirits, representing perfection, and as seven torches of fire, and seven eyes to express his omnipresence and omniscience. Is it good? Yeah, it is good. Because it relates to Revelation 3, 1, and 4, 5, it's seven spirits and the seven eyes, right? And number seven represents perfection, which is very good. It tells us that why Apostle John used number seven, because it's a perfect. But how perfect? In what sense is it perfect? It doesn't tell us, right? So the Life Application Bible is also very good. It says that the seven spirits is another name for the Holy Spirit, which is much better than Oxford Annotated Bible, because it said that it could be angels, right?
Right.
Completely wrong. But here it says that it's another name for the Holy Spirit. It's good, right? Okay, now, the number seven is used throughout Revelation to symbolize completeness and perfection. It's good, right? That's very good. But complete in what way? Perfection in what way? It doesn't tell us. All right, now let's just, this is a last slide. This is a rich footnote in the Chapter Version Bible. We don't have time, but how about we just read this bold part. So the seven spirits must be for God's move on the earth. In essence and existence, God's spirit is one. In the intensified function and work of God's operation, God's spirit is sevenfold.
Amen.
It tells us that why is the seven?
Right.
Why it is complete? Why it's perfect? Because it is perfect and it is complete in terms of God's work and God's operation.
Amen.
So this is what we mean, that the Recovered Version Bible not only stands on the shoulders of all these great Bible teachers and the Christians who love the Lord. So they receive that light and revelation from the Lord when they read their Bible. And today, we inherited all these riches and filtered them out with the scripture as a unique standard. But also, go on even one step further by bringing the divine revelation to its consummation and completion. So we can see that the Recovered Version Bible, the footnotes, again, it stresses the revelation, the light, and the life supply.
Amen.
And the footnotes really is a crystallization of divine revelation that we inherited from the Christians before us, and also present a further, more advanced exposition of the scripture according to the present truth.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this version of the Bible.
Amen. Amen.